Is and I am a what?
I am a, however you identify yourself.
Forget the recording. Oh, we don't have to touch it.
Hi. Welcome to the 2025 Region 6 Convention.
Yay!
Thank you for being here. Topic of this up is The Miracles and Living Beyond My Wildest Dreams. Name is Debbie. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm here with Beth, and we are the co-leaders for this meeting. I will take a breath and talk slowly. Use my inside voice. Each of us will have up to 20 minutes to share, and then we will open up the room for this topic to share for 3 minutes. I'd like us to start with the Serenity Prayer. Take a deep breath in, let it out, and just be. God, grant me the serenity to accept things I cannot change, urge to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. We'll end at 6 o'clock. I'm ready. Kind of was easy for me because my name is Debbie. I'm a grateful compulsive overeater. I have some pictures I sent around the room. When I walked to this room, I was bent, broken, and well over 200 pounds, and I was miserable. And I had a very closed and finite life. And I walked into this program not thinking it was just another diet club, thinking it was just another way to lose weight. But something happened. The people in the room were talking about their parents growing older, their children being sick, getting divorced or cancer, and yet they got through it without eating. And then they got through it with laughing. And then they got through it talking to each other. I just wanted what they had. I sat there and I get choked up because I can still remember sitting in that room. On a Saturday morning, I was working. I'm a single mom. And so Saturday mornings and Sunday mornings were the only time I could get. And I could have anybody. Because I didn't want anybody else to think that I was trying a diet that didn't work. But I kept coming back and they said, this is what you needed to do. That's what I did. And the life I have today is so far beyond the finite thoughts that I thought at that time. And life is not perfect. Life would be perfect. People, this, because only people in here understand this. In my head, at over 200 pounds, if I could get to it, my life would be perfect. Well, I'm at that weight. I've maintained that weight. I still have that weight. Life is not perfect. How could that be? What I have here are friends. I have a tool set. I have strategies. I have structure to get through the rough times. Promises. I printed them out. I was a teacher, a New York City school teacher, and we did what all teachers did. I made big copies to put up here on my desk at home. I forgot. I was very well prepared. I just forgot. If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. My life so drastically changed because I didn't need to use food and I didn't need to do destructive behaviors. Everything I know today I've stolen and heard from somebody else. And a big one for me is just because I'm hurting does it myself. If I fail to plan, I plan. I know that. They're going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. Yes, I have not won the lottery. Yes, Mr. Wright has not driven up in a big white car. But I have a life that is so wonderful. I need to maintain it. Personal note, I told you I was a single parent. I raised my son. He's an adult, has two daughters. They are the love of my life. All my friends, we had boys. Now we're getting granddaughters. It's so much more exciting. But I'm having such a good time. They want to spend time with me, and they want to be with me because I can just be kind, loving, and gentle. I have people say, I don't have a good relationship. For me, it's the step in the tradition. You need to do the tradition work, 4 and 10. 4, every group is autonomous. Change all the traditions to I. My son and his family are autonomous. They're his children, not mine. He gets to raise them. He gets to decide what's best. Grandma only spoils them. Grandma just buys them stuff. I would like, you got it. That's a grandma's job. 10, you ought to have no opinions. Come on, we all have opinions. I got lots of opinions. At a meeting one time I said, if you give me 5 minutes, I'll tell you what's wrong with your life. And somebody at the end of the meeting said, oh, would you? No, I have no opinions on your life. I don't know your life. I have enough trouble with my own life. I'm not going to help anybody else, especially if I'm not in fit spiritual condition. We will comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. Still working on that one. I am a catastrophizer. I go from broken nail to losing the arm from gangrene. Somebody is 5 minutes late. It doesn't mean they got stuck at a traffic light. They're in a fiery wreck. I have calmed myself down. When things go wrong, I go through all the possibilities. And I say, oh. And by the time I've gone through them all, person falls or knocks on the door or there. I have these new skills. Calms me down because I am so not calm. Also, was a rageaholic. In my family, the one who yelled the loudest was the rightest. Choose not to do that again. But sometimes I really always say this. I was born, raised, and worked in New York City. I was a New York City school teacher. I can witches. But I choose not to today. It always makes me laugh. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. I laugh when they wrote the big book, they put the word scale in. Little did they know. I came down the scale, and I'm still the best Debbie that I want to be. I don't think I'll ever arrive. Because every time I think, okay, I got this now, something else comes up and says, ooh, geez. As a matter of fact, I have a fourth step to do on something, and I took a book, and I took my library, and then the library was closed. Well, okay, that's God telling me I don't got to do that. So I told my sponsor, I know it's there, but I have to concentrate on my work this weekend. I have to get to it, because if I don't move forward, I'm going to move backwards. Of uselessness will and self-pity will disappear. I really, really am grateful for everything, and it amazes me that even if something happens and I go to drop it and I catch it, I say, thank you, God. I've had one knee, two hips replaced. I've had a kidney removed. I broke both arms in 2017, one at the World Service and one at the convention. And I say everything I've had has been repaired, replaced, removed. I can stand. I can stand. I say, thank you, God. I am in the September of my years, not right October, but the September. And I say, thank you, God, good morning for giving me another day. And if nothing else, my granddaughter's just lost. They're about to go. It'll be 4 weeks. So I have to stay healthy. And I have to be there for them. I'm too. But they need me at this point. The little one's 4 says, Grandma, you old? I go, yeah. She goes, you're going to die? I was like, nope, not for a while. Not me. I don't have self-pity because I count all of my blessings each and every day. It's very easy to complain and bitch. Somebody cut me off. I don't have this. I'm grateful. We bitched and moaned at the lunch for 40 minutes for a waiter to come over. And by now, you don't want to do that to compulsive overeaters. And when the waitress came, she was the same waitress we had last night, I said, I need you to know we are very high maintenance, but we are very pleasant. Because I know, if you have 10 people in the room, nobody orders off the menu. This one can't have that, that one has extra this, this one leave this out and put that on the side. You know what I'm talking about, guys. I'm pleasant, and I always say thank you. Because nothing is a gimme anymore. Nothing is a... I hate that word entitlement. What's the definition of an addict? You're going to lose what you have and you're not going to get what you deserve. I don't deserve anything. I earn things. I work for things. And if God doesn't want me to have it, don't. Speaking will slip away. 90% of it. 90% all the time that... I don't want to be up front. I don't want to do that. Hey, I'm here right now, right? hoping that whatever message I give to you, you will take away and you will change your life. So that's just a little self-seeking. The whole attitude and outlook on life will change. I told you, when I lost a kidney, went for a well checkup. Nobody goes for a well checkup if the doctor's going to tell you you lose 100 pounds. The healthy body weight, went for the doctor. I had kidney, and I was fine. That was in 2012. So I've had my share of crap. On the other hand, I have been able to retire. Retired from the New York City school system. Nobody had a better job than I did. I worked for 35 years playing ball with little kids. Found a better job than that. And I love my job, and now I'm retired, and the same group of people that I worked with, we get together once a month for lunch. 1980 in a school, and we all got married, had kids, our parents got sick. This is my second family. My third, you're my second. I have these kind of relationships with people because I'm not out there telling people what to do or how to live their lives. I don't use the word should. Should is a very judgmental word. But I say should. What I'm saying to you is, I know better than you. I know where you came from. I know your history. And I know better than you do. I don't know nothing. I have enough problems with my own life, which really are very minuscule. I'm retired, and I can travel. Because I have a wonderful, strong program, I can travel anywhere. I brought my hard copies of my books because there are a couple of things I want to tell you. But all my books are on my phone. So when I wake up in the morning, I open up, the first thing I do, you know I go to the bathroom. Then I open up my books and I read all of my For Today, Voices of Recovery, and I have a bunch of other things that I will not mention. And I tell people, don't believe I said so. Believe it in the books. Believe it. I have all these little earmarks for things. Believe it because in the books. One. Some of them, this is on pain. February 20th. Though the world is full of suffering, it is also full of overcoming it. When I am troubled and I think my pain will last forever, peace of mind appears to be gone for good. The fact that I have faced conquered problems in the past is all forgotten. Although yesterday's suffering may have little bearing on the present, I know that overcoming it gave me strength. My burdens today might seem greater than any I've ever had, but so is my ability to deal with them. I am not where I once was. I have learned in a way when I can do nothing more to improve a situation, there is a process in which I can absolutely trust, let go, and let God. For today, pain often comes from non-acceptance. If I find that I cannot neither change nor accept a certain reality, I need to let go for now, knowing that that is the first step in overcoming my misery. Because I am terminally unique, nobody ever had the problems I had. Nobody had the mother-in-law I had. Nobody had the husband I had. And then I hear, I'm not terminally unique. And I just told you, I'm a teacher. So sometimes I would sit on my hands for 42 minutes. That's the length of a gym period. I would literally sit on my hands, make a promise every morning to myself that for the next 20 hours, I will remain abstinent. If day sucks so bad, tomorrow all bets are off. And I'm here 20 years. All the years that I've been here, there's only been one occasion where I said, God, all bets are off. And I got a call from an OA friend who said to me, I'm really too tired to drive 2 hours. Mom, can I stay by you tonight? You think I'm going to eat in front of her? So God acts through other people. God puts people in my way. God makes me don't have to. I get to live of usefulness to other people and not just sit about myself and say, what are you guys going to do for me? We'll realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Walked in here bent and broken and abused. Walked in here really awful. Gym teacher, never did my hair. Never did my nails. And when I started doing service positions, they said, you know, when you go to service, when you go to a business conference, you have to dress like that. Dress for business. My business is a name brand tracksuit. On casual days, I wore a school sweatshirt. So I had to go out and learn how to wear dresses, get a tailor, because I wanted so badly what you had. And I was told, from the moment that I walked in, that I would be treated with dignity, love, and respect until I could have it for myself. And I never knew that that could happen. When I come in, I tell that to other people. Again, don't believe me. It's in the book. What we have to offer here is a fellowship in which we find the sharing, healing power of love. When I entered this 12-step program, I was broken, bleeding, discouraged, debauched, bloated, and hating myself. Then came the first ray of hope. We will love you till you... Yes, this miracle has come true. I love and respect myself today. I have been badly buffeted or buffeted by life and other compulsions and major illnesses. Does this sound? However, my health as a total person is much improved. You and my higher power has healed me. I have learned to accept myself without judgment as other OA members love and accept me too. Now I can reach out and Overeaters Anonymous and let the love pass through me to heal others, to every newcomer. We will love you till you can love yourself. Work the program to the best of your ability. Then the promises will come true. And you will live a life so far beyond your... I really had very little plans, very little hopes. I'm here now, and I'm here today. And God gives me every new day, and I just want to say thank you for teaching me how to become a lady. Thank you for teaching me how to live. Thank you for teaching me how to be healthy. Thank you for giving me love, dignity. And if nobody told you today they love you, God loves you, and so do I. And with that, I pass.
I'm Beth, and I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. So grateful to be here and to share with you about the promises. I love, love, love me some promises. And so I'll tell you a little bit about how I got here. I have been in Overeaters Anonymous since April of 1978. I was 16 years old when I came to my first meeting. I had been a fat kid, called names, been on diet pills and in Weight Watchers with my, when I was 11, my pediatrician put me on diet pills. So I was like, I qualify, garden variety compulsive overeater. And all things being equal, I would just like more food, please, would be the answer. So I came to my first meeting. I heard the story of a woman who was doing blackout eating, who was doing things with food I had never even imagined. And I was with two other chubby high school girlfriends. And when the meeting was ending, I turned to them and I said, "This is it. I have never left." So here I am. And my story is one of the fulfillment of the promises. So starting at the beginning, it says, if we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. What was important for me to understand is that these promises come after the ninth step. They don't come after you go to 10 meetings, or after you've been abstinent for 3 years, or after you work some tools, or after you work the first 6 steps. They come after the ninth step, and that was my experience as well. So being painstaking about the work of the first 9 step promises. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. And for me, what that looked like was learning to live abstinently, which took me a long time. I was really young. I had not done a lot of things with food that people who had been around for a while had and who were older than me had done. And so I did some experimenting. I did some research and discovered I am, in fact, powerless over food and my life is unmanageable. But living abstinently and working the steps has meant that I am no longer consumed with the self-loathing and repeatedly experiencing the pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization that goes along with being an active compulsive overeater and binger. And that freedom from obsession and compulsion, freedom from always thinking about food, you know what it's like, and always being focused on how can I have the next food? How can I get more? Where is it? How can I eat it so nobody sees it? All those things. Freedom from that gave me so much space in my life, mind, and so much more time, and that led to a new freedom and a new happiness that I had never known. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. I am a child of a messy, traumatic, difficult environment, and I learned really well how to compartmentalize. So I could just like, boop, put things in little boxes, put them away, not deal with them, and they started like building up around me. And so I would just keep the door shut on things I didn't want to deal with. And I was standing in a 12-step meeting a number of years ago, and somebody was reading the promises at the end of the meeting, and we were standing there, and I heard this, we will not regret the past or wish to shut the door on it, and I was just like, I just had a spiritual awakening. It was like, oh my gosh, there's something huge that I have shut the door on it. I have shut the door on it, and I regret about my past. I need to deal with this thing, and that led to more awakening and freedom. And now today I have no secrets. There is nothing about me that someone doesn't know, which is so much freedom. And so I'm not carrying the wreckage of my past around with me anymore. Who comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. I remember the first time I started to experience serenity, I was like, wow, this is kind of boring. And I said that to my sponsor, and she said, yeah, welcome to serenity. For those of us who are addicted to chaos and drama and fear and adrenaline, serenity can be kind of boring, but you'll get used to it if you keep coming back. So, learning to live in peace has taken time and time. That's something I'm still learning about. And now I can tell the difference between when I'm in peace and when I'm not in peace. When I'm anxious, when I'm adrenalizing, when I'm full of fear, when I'm full of resentment, I can feel it now. I'm aware of it, and then I can turn to my higher power instead of turning to food. One day at a time, thank you, God. So no matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. And I have experienced over and over and over again that my challenges, the things that kick my butt, that I feel shame about, make me uniquely useful to other people. So my story is, I was in OA for 6 years, going to meetings, making phone calls, doing service, having sponsors, working the first 3 steps, as we do, but not going further because I didn't want to do that. It took me years being in the rooms to get the app that I have today. And I felt so much shame. The longest abstinence I had in my first 6 years was 9 months. I might have had that twice, but I had a lot of like weeks, 2 weeks, month, 3 months. And I didn't have a God that was bigger than food. And so when things got hard, I got hungry. And there was nothing between me and the food, nothing between me and compulsive overeating. And so I felt so much shame about that. Like, maybe I'm constitutionally incapable of being honest with myself. Maybe I don't belong here. And today I have been able to be so helpful to so many people who struggle with getting abstinent because it took me 6 years of coming back and hearing open the stories in these rooms. So my challenges continue to make me uniquely useful to others and provide hope for others. So now when I'm going through a really hard time, I think, it's going to help somebody that I've been here. And that happens. That just consistently happens. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. As the product of a family with many generations of addiction, as a good product of that environment and a codependent, I knew how to make sure I was never useless. I knew how to make myself very useful. And so I didn't have that experience, but my self-pity
kept me from seeing what my part was in what wasn't working in my life. Oh, why does this keep happening? Oh, why are they mean to me? I don't understand. And I couldn't see what I was doing, what my participation wasn't working in my life. And so I'm not the center of the universe anymore. I was for a very long time, I'll have you know. but I'm not anymore, and I'm much happier this way. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. I now understand from many, many, many times of reading and studying the Big Book, many times of working the steps in this and other fellowships, that my will leads me into trouble. My very best ideas, my very best thinking, my very best intentions get me running into brick walls over and over again. It's just where my will leads me. It's broken, confused, frustrated, and so now I know that, and that my will leads me to trouble and conflict, so I can also reverse engineer that. When I'm having trouble and conflict, perhaps I'm being willful. Ten, thank you. And so that's a good check about am I being willful and self-seeking. And I consider self-seeking, which comes up in the Big Book a lot, as what are the things I do to get what I want? So for me, that looks like I withdraw, I shut down, or I run away, or I am charming and helpful and useful, and then you want to give me what I want. So my self-seeking can look a lot of different ways, but that's one of the ways I understand it. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. That's a huge statement. If I work these steps, through step 9, I will no longer be afraid of people or of economic insecurity. It turns out I needed to go to another fellowship to deal with the economic insecurity part of things, but working the steps 4 through 9 and having a sponsor means that, again, I have no secrets anymore. I'm not carrying around the wreckage of my past. I can look people in the eye, and that is a beautiful way to live. And my higher power, and also remembering my higher power has taken care of me every single day of my life. I'm 64 now, which means that 3 out of every 4 days of my life I've been in this fellowship, which is amazing. Like, what a gift. And so I'm pretty confident my higher power will take care of me today. And that's really useful. So I live in this promise. We will intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us. I see this every day in my life when I'm baffled or frustrated, I don't know what to do. When I'm agitated or doubtful, I now have some options. I can run full speed at the brick wall, as I have done so many times, thinking, I know how this is supposed to turn out. I will just work very hard and do the thing I know how to do. Or I can pause. Higher power in. Pause when agitated or doubtful and ask for my higher power to show me the way forward. And much less brick wall therapy than I used to be engaged in. And we will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. I don't compulsively overeat one day at a time. I'm not living in a fat body. I am not full of self-loathing. I don't spend 80% of my time and energy trying to figure out how to get more food or how to stop eating food. I don't make the promise every day to myself, this is it, I'm going to do it today, and then by 10:30 in the morning, I don't live that way anymore, and I could never, being in Weight Watchers twice before I was 13, being on diet pills, exercising a lot, I could not do that for myself. I could not live free. And I couldn't stop hiding emotionally. I couldn't stop focusing on image management and trying to orchestrate how you see me. I couldn't stop running from vulnerability and intimacy. I mean, running fast. Vulnerability and intimacy. I couldn't stop assuming that I knew better than everybody else how I'm supposed to be, how you're supposed to be, how everybody's supposed to be, how everything's supposed to turn out. I really believed I knew that. And I couldn't stop doing those things. And today I have a higher power that can take care of those things for me, so I don't have to do that work or have the illusion that I'm doing that work. These extravagant promises? We think not. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes slowly, sometimes quickly. They will always materialize if we work for them. That sentence, "they will always materialize if we work for them," saved my life. Because when I just couldn't see my way through it, I just didn't know, like, why do I keep coming back here? I can't get it. What am I doing here? This is too hard. Read that sentence over and over again. They will always materialize if we work for them. And I saw, like our previous speaker was sharing, I saw in you a light and a freedom and an ease and a joy that I did not have access to, that I wanted in my life. And the book, the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous and the OA literature, taught me how to live a life where I didn't have to be hungry all the time. I didn't have to eat, even if I felt like it. See, that was the turning point for me. I was spent so many years eating without my permission. I didn't want to. I'm not hungry. I'm going to hate myself. Why am I doing this? I can't stop. Like that whole drama for years and years. I also spent years going, here I go. I'm going to eat that thing. I'm going to eat so much of that thing because I got to have it. And then I got to a place where I was eating without my permission. I would stop if I could. I can't stop. And so the promises have come true in my life slowly. I've been here 47 years. Slowly. And this feels like the biggest promise to me, that they will always materialize if I work for them. And here's what I have discovered over the years. We are not promised. We are not promised a perfect body, a perfect marriage, perfect children. I am not promised financial success. I'm not promised ideal partners, friends, or family. I am not promised good health for me, for myself, or for those I love, or for other people. Though that's not the package. You know, in the 12th step where it says, you know, what does the 12th step say? I know it by heart, and I'm just blanking on it. Let me just find that page. So it says, having had this spiritual awakening as the result of that, not as a result, but this is the result I get by working the program, is I get a spiritual awakening. I don't get the perfect body, get all the things, the big, big, long laundry list of things that I would like to get. I don't get that here. What I get is a spiritual awakening and the opportunity to practice these principles and carry this message. And my experience has been that by living the steps one day at a time to the best of my ability, which is 100% imperfect, so imperfect, perfection isn't in it, I have become the message. I don't just get to carry it, but my life actually is the message. And I'm not saying that in an ego way. It's like that's what happens as a result of recovery, that we get to carry this message and we get to be the message for other people who might need to hear it. And I'm so grateful to be here all these years later. I'm so grateful that for some reason, when I thought, why am I staying here? This is too hard. I cannot. I don't know why I keep eating. I don't want to keep eating anymore. Why? I'm so glad I just kept coming back, which they said every meeting, just keep coming back. Okay, I will. And here I am today living free and living a life that's second to none, and by the grace of my higher power and the 12 steps. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you. Yeah, okay.
I got you.
Okay, so let's see. Now the meeting is open for sharing. We have about 20 minutes left. Just about 20 minutes. And the shares, I believe, are 3 minutes. Is that correct? Yep. And so anybody who wants to share can come up here so people can actually see you. And we'll end at about 2 minutes up. So who would like to share? Come on up. And then you're next.
Okay. She was closer, so she got here faster.
I'm sorry. Thank you both of you very much for your shares, and it's disheartening to hear. I'm new in this. I'm from Region 2, moved to Region 6, so this is the first time I've been here, and I think what the promises mean for me is happy with my body. It is perfect. It is full, and I don't get bored, because what has come out of this for me is creativity. I'm not held down by what other people think about me, and I work to not judge. And I have to work at that, because it's real easy to judge, very easy to judge. And to reverse that, 10 steps save my life every day. And I have a history of relapse, and I've learned from that. I've never left the room, but we each have our own journey, and my journey has been absolutely amazing. I'm 76. I'm a lot older, and I was born in Greece, and I was there recently for a wedding. I danced for 2.5 hours straight, overlooking the sea with my gold Birkenstocks, and all these 30-year-olds were coming up to me saying, I want to be like you when I'm your age. And it was like, whoa, what? Because I wasn't thinking, think about how I dance. What is somebody thinking about anything about me? I didn't go there knowing hardly anybody, and I had a wonderful time without any expectations. We turn everything over to God. And that's where the peace and ease comes from me. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you. If you're continuing to time. Okay.
I thought you were.
Okay, I can. Would you like to? Okay, 3 minutes. Thank you.
I'm Amy. I'm a grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater from here in Rochester.
Hi, Amy.
The promises for me are very meaningful, and I do believe they've all come true for me. For me, my favorite is the one that says we will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us, because before I was in program, I had no self-esteem. I describe it as my self-esteem was below ground, like there just was none. And I would constantly be calling other people, mostly my husband, how do I do this? How do I get there? And he would get so annoyed with me. You're like, I'm at work. I can't help you. You have to figure this out. And I was like this blubbering idiot. I just could not figure anything out. And I still remember, I've been in program 13 years, the first time I figured something out on my own. And I was like, oh, my God, I figured this out. And it wasn't this monumental thing, but I was like, oh, I figured out how to do this, because the program had started giving me that gift of believing in myself, and I wasn't stuffing my face with food anymore, and I was learning coping skills and just starting to really believe in myself and get some of that self-esteem back that I had never had. And for me, the promises are just a beautiful thing to listen to. And to realize that this program has given me a life beyond my wildest imagination. I had horrible relationships with my older son, and now we have this wonderful, loving relationship, and so many other things that 13 years ago I could never have imagined. And I like to just read the promises just all the time and just flip through them. And so I can really relate to your stories, and I thank you for sharing.
Overeater, program and abstinent. Okay, I've been in program, and I'm always afraid if I talk too loud, I'll hurt people's ears. Okay, so I've been in program and abstinent for 21 years, down 40. And, during the shutdown, I lost an extra 10 pounds, and because I wasn't eating at restaurants. And I didn't do it on purpose, it just happened. And now I've gone back to eating in restaurants, and that's back. And I've been really kind of beating myself up, which is not really programmed, right? I'm powerless over food. I'm still abstinent. I'm still eating 301. And this workshop is really important for me because I need to focus on celebrating being abstinent and not focus on, gee, I was 10 pounds less 2 years ago. And found myself like looking in the mirror and feeling my stomach looks big and all these things that are really not, that I'm powerless over food, really not celebrating the promises and stuff. So I'm grateful for the reminder that, you know, I need to be focusing on what's right. And, you know, was that friend when I first lost the weight, who I was talking to her, somebody knew me for a long time, and she, and I said to her, gee, I don't weigh that much less than I weighed in college. Everybody's telling me I'm really beautiful, and they weren't saying that to me in college. And so she, and she said, well, you used to always look down at the floor, and now you look us in the eye and smile so we can see that you're beautiful. That's recovery, right? That's really why I chose the first one who really could be the sponsor who had what everything I wanted. It was because of the way she smiled. It was because of the way her eyes glittered with joy. And I have, and that's, you know, I have to keep focusing on that. Okay.
My name is Marlene. I'm a compulsive overeater from Toronto, Canada.
Hi,
I'm very glad to be here. I have to share on this because that is my favorite expression, life beyond my wildest dreams. I am so grateful for the life I have today. You know, before I was hopeless, helpless, miserable, every negative adjective that you can think of. And today, life is really, really good. It's fantastic. I have a wonderful relationship with my children, that which is the most important thing. You know, before I thought that I knew best when they had kids and I would be the, you know, tell them what to do. It doesn't work like that. And so my life today is I travel a lot. I have fun. I have a beautiful apartment. I have loving friends. And the other promise is, you know, I will not regret the past and I wish to shut the door on it. Overeating saved my life. I was a single mother with two really wild and crazy kids. If I didn't have the food, I don't know where I would be today. But eventually I didn't eat any more, thank you God. I was able to put it down and, you know, work this program. But I don't regret the past, and everything is a learning experience for me. And all of the promises have come through for me. Like, I have no financial insecurity. That's a blessing nowadays. You know, I struggled. I was really poor raising those kids on my own. Their father was like useless, and I had to work two jobs, and I really struggled. But today, you know, I got money, yay! You know, and I don't have to worry about anything. It's a blessing. So I do have a life beyond my wildest dreams, and I believe it is God given. God gives, does for me what I can't do for myself. So thanks.
Hi, Sarah. I'm a compulsive overeater in North Carolina. I'm delighted to be here. Thank you. I've been in program for about 5.5 years, over 100 pounds. A lot has changed here. A more stable family situation, a lot more confidence, and a lot more. I think I'm grateful for the most that was touched on is the ability that I have to recognize my feelings, know when I'm spiraling and when I'm headed in the wrong direction, and the ability to react in a way that I'm choosing to react instead of. I'm doing a very slow train through the steps. I'm on step 5. It's taking me a really long time. I'm going deep, but so I'm not to 9. And I feel, as I listen to these speakers talk about the depth of security they have within themselves, I long for that. I'm partway there, but there is a ways to go, and that's why I'm here, and that's why I keep coming back. Nothing has improved my life the way following my program. And I just knowing because there's a lot of ways. I guess I'll just add my favorite, or actually a promise, but the thing that blessed me the most, that I was on really shaky ground with my belief in a higher power. And I really felt lost internally, and my moral, my internal compass of making decisions and kind of what's the next right thing. I was so lost in understanding that I was outsourcing every problem to everyone. And I've been able to find a higher power that I can trust, that I daily surrender my to, and that carries me to my next day, one day at a time, and without a time.
Yeah, I'm Beth. I'm a compulsive overeater. And I've been thinking a lot. I really appreciated the speakers. And the thing that I like the most about the promises is that part that says, you know, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. And it gave me permission to be slow. You know, I mean, I'd like to be on the fast road, but that's not been. Last week I celebrated 37 years in the program, and all I did was keep coming back, but thank you. And I'm so grateful that I kept coming back, because I remember one time one of my sponsees said, "Oh my gosh, I've been abstinent for 3 weeks and I'm feeling all my feelings." And I'm like, "Wow, aren't you lucky?" Because I know when it was, because I said, because I've been here 11 years and it's still a challenge for me. So now I can say 37 years. It's still a challenge, but it's so much better. And it's okay that I'm, you know, like I am who I am. I'm powerless. If I coulda, I woulda. And it's not my job to fix that. It's my job to keep coming back, to work the steps of everything. And then somebody just used the word, I don't know what they said, but what I was thinking about, it's kind of almost a promise, is my favorite words in all of the literature, in many programs, it comes from the OA tool pamphlet. It comes from the tool of service. And it says, "A life of sane and happy usefulness is what we are promised as a result of working these steps. And service helps to fulfill that promise." Thank you. I first heard that, and that's what I wanted, a life of sane and happy usefulness. I just couldn't imagine anything better than that. And I got a little mixed up, because it was in a tool of service. I really, seriously did not even hear that part as the result of working these steps. And so for the first 5 years, I focused more on service than on working the steps. I did work the steps, but I needed a little focus. And that promise also has come true in my life. I'm also retired. It's just like awesome to know that I did a good job. You know, I was no great shakes. My mom wasn't that thrilled with my career choice, but I loved it, and I know it was good. It was perfect for me. I am having a life of sane and happy usefulness, and I am so grateful for that as a result of working these steps.
We have time for one more share, 3-minute share, or a couple of short shares, like 2-minute share. Is it your turn? Okay. Wait longer. If you need a little time to get up here. So, at this time, we will close the meeting. And thank you so much for being here. And let us close with the serenity prayer. Do we want to stand and hold hands? Do we want to sit where we are? Okay, sit where you are, says Marlene. After a moment of silence, for those of us in this room and out in the across the world who still suffer compulsive eating, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I will not mind be done. Thanks so much. See you around town.
Keep coming back.
Keep coming back.
Keep coming back.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. So I'll just leave the...
Thank you. Yeah, we'll put it all back here.
Oh, everything goes back in the box? Great.
I'm going to take the recording.
You're going to do that. Perfect.
So there was a 25...